From UA Little Rock Public Radio, this is The Art Scene. I'm Daniel Breen. Matthew Castellano's world is diverse, colorful, and playful. It's populated by figures that, on first glance, look pretty unassuming, but they're truly a flurry of motion. Always wearing or doing something fascinating, the figures Castellano draws have a distinctly homegrown feel to them. The bookstore at Library Square, near the Cal's main library downtown, is home to some of Castellano's creations through the end of the month as part of an exhibit titled Plateau. Castellano spoke with The Art Scene about growing up in Florida, moving to Arkansas, and teaching himself how to create art and how to get used to making a living off of it.
A professional artist now. I'm getting used to saying that more and more every day. For the past 3-4 years, I would say serious, maybe even 5 to 6, but I couldn't call myself a professional artist. I have a very, prove it, you know, and I have.
So, sure, yeah.
So now I can say that okay, and other professional artists groomed me and saying, say it, keep saying it, you're going to be okay with it.
So sort of like a positive visualization type thing.
Yeah, like say it now. I was like, okay, I'll say it now, and it got better, so.
So was there a point that you reached where you realized you could say that? I mean, I guess the answer is like when you made enough money.
Well, my granddad famously said, if someone pays you for your art, you're a professional. And I didn't like that instant title. So I had to work a little more and be a more community oriented. I wanted to be around more artists and see what I could do in a community sense. So then that happened, and therefore I got more comfortable saying it because I'm very passionate about it.
What brought you to Arkansas?
Family. My grandparents retired, and then they moved from South Florida to Arkansas because my granddad wanted to be closer to the Buffalo River. He really fell in love with this area up the northwest Arkansas, and so he was stationed at Pruitt and decided just to retire with my grandma. And grandma passed away, and then granddad is in hospice right now, but they're still up there. So
sorry to hear that.
It's life.
Yeah, that it is. So did you spend a lot of time around that area in the Buffalo?
I did. A couple summers. I spent the whole summer in Arkansas, and from South Florida, it's completely different. So I fell in love with rivers and not oceans and different trees instead of palm trees and random things and just really cool national park. It was like instead of the Everglades, which was huge, it seemed more condensed and different.
Yeah,
I absolutely fell in love with it.
Did that influence kind of your art style when you moved from Miami?
No. People did, not the scenery. The scenery was always changing since I've been traveling since I was a little kid all the time. But it was the people here in Little Rock that really inspired me to do more art and different and change my styles up and stuff. It was a lot of introspect stuff. Now it's a lot of community, a lot of scenes. So I wanted to open up more of community and people. So,
yeah, I think one thing that really pops out at me, like looking at your work, is that you're the first person I've seen who doesn't really emphasize the face. Like it's more about the what the person's wearing or what they're doing.
I really love fashion, and I'm coming to more grips with that. The last 2 years, I really love clothing and the way people create. And of course, there's been fashion designers here that inspired me a lot as well. But it's more about what they're doing, what they're passionate about, and what they're wearing is to individual, and because we're all the same kind of thing, you know. And it's there's no sex or like religion or race involved. They're just doing their thing. It's a representation of the human experience. And then I like to get more colorful with their garb or their regalia stuff that I really like to draw. So it's like, yeah, I didn't want to emphasize the expressions, but there is some pieces that I do that are facial expressions that are for a reason.
Yeah, and there's definitely an element of sort of otherworldliness to your pieces.
Yes, world building, sandbox artist kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that must be easier to, you know, do whatever you want essentially if you're on.
Yeah, but it also puts you in a bigger box that you don't see quite yet until you hit the sides. And you're like, oh, I can't go that far. But it's been good to expand as well. And then different avenues of artwork, like different types of printmaking and illustration, are allowing me to expand throughout that box. So
yeah, I did want to ask about printmaking and your other, I guess, mixed media works. What sort of limits do you feel you have when you're drawing that you need to expand to that?
The two-dimensional limit. I really really, really wanted to get into etching. I've always been intrigued by it ever since I saw an Italio show at Conway, like when I first got here. And it was July, I went to a workshop at Euler, thanks to the Wingate Foundation. And Wynn Brule, of course, taught me how to do electrolytic etching, and I set up one at my house right away and took off on that. And that was a fine art ability that I could take my ideas and turn them into fine art and express it. And of course, I'm pushing the boundaries already with that and the limitations. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it because that's going to be like my new thing next year.
What is the importance of the medium to you of just putting pen to paper, pencil to paper, but then also, as you said, transferring it to fine art?
Of course, with any artist, the more they put on paper, you know, anything that they make is going to be their art, so it's going to be fine art. But to find a pen and paper and draw is the more basic one. So that was where I built my foundation. And then the printmaking is where I can expand using a method not everybody will understand right away, but fine artists and other printmakers will, and they go, oh, how did you do that? And oh, that's a different way of thinking about it. See, that's the little avenues and all the little ways of manipulating different styles and different techniques. That's where I thrive, because I want to see how far I can push it and experience it.
And you're also very prolific, so is that sort of an accessibility aspect to you, to just do you have a thought and then do you just write it down?
Yes, I have what I call my second brain on me every day, and it's a notebook, and I do it every 2 months and I change the notebook out. Right now I'm working on my second year of a notebook, so I go back and make sure that I do checklists every day and make sure that that is still in the wheelhouse of what I should be doing, and then make sure that I get that process out of my brain so I can think of more things. But yeah, I've always wanted to see, I wanted to try every aspect of art. I'm still wanting to do pottery and get into that with my own hands. I've worked with other potters as well, and I really, really love that experience of collaborating with other artists too, but I would like to also get my hands dirty. But the printmaking thing I fell in love with right away, because I've been a screen printer for, when I first got here, and learned that, and easy bathroom stuff, and then now I'm etching in my bathroom, so it's just full circle.
So what are the checklist that you're mentioning, is that just checking things that you want to do within your art or types of art?
Yes, pieces, ideas. Printmaking is definitely a stage-oriented thing, and you can't do it all in one day, and if you did, it will drive you nuts, and you'll probably miss a bunch of different little intricacy things that you should probably pay attention to. So I need to write these things down because my mind's always going. It's I've always have another idea right when I got another one, and I want to make sure these ideas are not lost or forgotten about. So I've been very good in training myself to get these ideas down. And then, of course, checklist every day on just normal things like do the dishes and clean the cat box and clean up and stuff like that is important to stay, consistent.
So where would you say you take your inspiration, I guess, if you even know where it comes from, I guess?
Yeah, again, people. Interacting with people every day, all day, but also the form of introspective alchemy. And, of course, etchings and stuff can only tell you so much from historical texts and books and reference material, but the introspectiveness of that is where I get a lot of my inspiration, where I can find inspiration within myself to share with others. So I think that's more what I'm focusing on this year, 2019, was the introspectiveness of how big can I build my world and who works in this world, who doesn't work in this world, what's going on, how can I tell this story? And then now it's more about mixed media pieces that I get to combine all my aspects of my art together. And that's when the pinnacle happened at the Prisoner Portrait Project this year that opened November 1st.
Yeah, if you could tell me a bit about that, I was fascinated about that.
I was asked at a show opening, and it was I don't do portraits, and I just said yes, because I thought it was a great idea to bring yoga and meditation practices of the Buddha and stuff into prisons to give them an avenue of self-reflection. And I got a really beautiful haiku from a prisoner, and it just kind of put everything together, put my art into perspective, put my life into perspective. And it was I'm not in jail. So yeah. I have to create this beautiful piece that's in my brain. And so I got into putting the sewing elements, the printmaking elements, the illustration elements, and the transfers all into one. And that is where I'm going next, mm-hmm. just a lot larger. So thank you whoever got that piece. It's a big keystone in the artwork for my life right now. So
as you were mentioning that your world is sort of expanding within your art, do you find that also with, like, when you're balancing extroversion with introspection, are you sort of expanding your group a little bit? Or, because I don't know, maybe it's a misconception, but, you know, I would at least think that, like, art is very, like, a solitary thing that you do.
Yeah, and that's why I really wanted to balance my introspectiveness and my alone time with creating art with the community and doing the gallery that I did and the shows and working with curating and other artists. I wanted to find the other artists that are like me, so I didn't feel like, oh, I'm just doing this by myself, you know, kind of thing, or being weird. And I really, really, really wanted to find the other people that would inspire me to, like, make me drive to do it. So I did that, and I found out that there is a lot of artists here in Little Rock that are amazing, and they are doing their own thing, and they'll get there eventually, and if not, are there now. So it's super and super cool to be a part of this group and to know everybody. So when I go out to art walks or to if I do a show, people are going to come out that I recognize, and that there is why I make my world bigger. And everybody inspires different characters or different, you know, dress or different job titles that in this fantasy world that I make. So, of course, there's different people now. There was only one, but now there's multiple different hats, I would say.
You know, I'm from Little Rock, born and raised, but I think that's, you know, kind of something that's surprising to me is what, you know, how robust the art and music scene is here.
Yeah, surprisingly, you know, and people would say, oh, I don't know, because you get a lot of news out of Fayetteville. And a lot of art stuff out of Fayetteville, of course, with the Waltons and Crystal Bridges being as amazing as it is. I really found that it's like a rough gem here, you know, and it's finally now getting polished and sharpened, and people are getting more avenues and showing work and or stepping up, you know, and there's a lot more opportunities in shows. Like, I found out that my art was really worth something to somebody else when I got into Small Works on Paper, which was 2014, I think, the first one I did. And it was surprising because I never had art tour around for 8 months in different galleries. And that's such a beautiful program. And it's amazing still to this day how different the shows are and how different the art is every time.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time in, you know, Northwest Arkansas or Bentonville, but it just seems that in Little Rock, you have all these galleries and all these, you know, Second Friday Art Night, things like that, mm-hmm. that, you know, it just seems like the barrier for entry is a little bit lower here, so it's
right.
Sort of fosters that.
I'm definitely working, that's always on my mind, to get another gallery going, to be that emerging arts gallery, even though Gallery 26 is doing an amazing job. I feel like I have to go scout. I have to approach them, because that's what artists like, is to know that someone's going out of their way to appreciate their work. And that little gesture, it's not a big deal for me, but it's a little gesture that might inspire them for the rest of them, you know, like, this is my opportunity. Mm-hmm. And somebody gave me that, so I want to be able to return the favor every time. Mm-hmm. So I've done shows where I've just cold called on some artists that I like, and they're just like, and then they look, and they're like, okay. And they take that initiative, and I'm so appreciative of them because it made me feel like I'm doing something right. Because,
yeah.
You know, every time I did Icebox, I got bigger and bigger and bigger and more popular. So it also made me an international art dealer at one time. So that was
Ooh.
Cool. Yeah. So that was neat.
Yeah. Definitely sounds cool.
Yeah. I can say that now. Just the one time. And I throw it out every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Man of mystery.
Yeah.
Is it easier now, do you think, with, you know, Instagram and Tumblr to find artists that you like that are from here?
No. It is tough. It is one of those things where you have to have someone that is posting about their art friend and through people. So I have to follow a larger circle, and it can get convoluted real easy. And then you might see an art and be like, who is this artist? And they're not from here. Someone's just kind of talking about it. And you think that they are, and it's an illusion that they are, but they're not. Or they're not here anymore. So they're like in another city doing their thing, which do it if you can. But I would really wish that they were here and be able to show here to make our art scene more, like, robust and different. Mm-hmm. which it is getting there. It's getting better and better every time. With every gallery opening, one at the Hub in North Little Rock, curators at both libraries that are in tune with contemporary artists and wanting to change the scene a little bit. So they have all of our thanks and praise because they're doing the hard work. Mm-hmm. They're taking the risk. So,
yeah, why do you think that is? It seems like that, at least with Instagram, that's, you know, broadening your reach very, very much. Is it just a question of, you know, who's here and who's had to or felt like they had to leave, I guess?
Yeah, they feel like some people just need to leave. I mean, I left Florida and I spent my whole life there, and it felt like when I got here, there was not much for me, but there was some. So I had to go out and do the legwork a little bit. And when artists do that, it puts them out of their comfort zone right away. So they don't feel comfortable, and maybe they're fighting with some anxiety about their art, or they don't know where they stand on it. So with me, I would like to make that easier. But with Instagram, it's very about likes and popularity, and it's not about the actual work, because you can only see so much of the art just by picture. You have to see it in person. You have to get it on the wall. You know, you have to get it out there and seen by a lot more percentage of people, because there's only a small percentage of people that are on the internet looking to buy. But there's people that actually go out there on foot and they see it in person, and it really, really makes an impact on their life, and they buy it. So it's a different factor. I mean, you can do that, and I do it. Instagram is great for marketing and putting yourself out there. But I feel like it's not the only thing, and they shouldn't focus on just that. They should definitely work on a website, a sales site, or a blog if they want to talk about their art, but get out there and get it physically put on a wall.
Our guest is Matthew Castellano, a Little Rock-based artist whose works are on display at the bookstore at Library Square as part of the exhibit Plateau. The show runs through the end of November.
What was most helpful to you in sort of being confident about your style?
Those juried shows. Getting into the jury show changed my idea of what art is perceived, how it's perceived, my art at least, because it's very 2D and emotional at the time that it got that first one. I was very like, oh, you like that one, you know, and was like, ooh, okay. But it got a little bit easier every time to put something out that was more emotional and personal to me. But that's what they want. That's what people want to see is this. They don't want to just have lifeless art. They want to have something that was an impact. They can definitely tell there's an impact on that person. So that solidified it when someone's like, I know what you're saying in this, and you don't have to say it, kind of thing. Yeah, that was big, huge for me.
What was the process like of finding the way to best do that for yourself?
Definitely genuine, like stay true to what I like to do and never bend to other senses or any other input. I really just kept at it and really wanted to refine my stuff and really just do it over and over and over again. And I just felt like I got a rhythm now, and I know what I want to portray and how to do it. So I don't have to worry about certain things, so I can get that idea across, and the other stuff is recognizable already. So they already know it's me. They just don't understand it yet, and they're getting to it. You know, and they're like, I like this. It makes me think every time I look at it. And then, of course, pushing the limits of what I want to do with supplies. So if like acrylic or oil, like I want to make sure that that's, you know, the right medium for this idea. So that's another thing. It's like, I don't know, but I that's the more fun for me now to figure out what style I want to portray this feeling.
You briefly said that a certain time in your life, your style was 2D and very emotional.
Yes.
How would you describe your style now?
Colorful and getting more three-dimensional, not physically three-dimensional, but definitely a view inside the world. And it's not so gut-wrenching, I would say, lack of a better term, because I did a lot of those gut entrail drawings, which are really fun to do and awesome. But there's a time I did them, and I don't go back to that all the time. Now it's a little lighter and more loving, but also mysterious and introspective as well. Trying to find the beauty and color with my process. So that was just black, white, and red for a long time, for probably like 2 years. And now it's like every color you can think of. So it's definitely getting out of the depression of you know, not having anybody here, being alone and not having a base, and then growing into your base and your foundation.
It's obviously a very healthy way to think and to make your art. It's kind of, you know, it goes against the old stereotype of like the Van Gogh or the Picasso in his blue period or whoever, you know, like the struggling, you know, tortured artist, tortured
yeah.
soul.
I mean, we're all, everybody, even not artists are tortured, I feel. And the starving artist thing is so unfair to the artist because we have to be comfortable and we have to be okay when we create, because that's, you know, we have to be in a mindset to be like, okay, I'm going to stay inside for 3 hours for no reason and just work on this piece. That's, I don't know, it's different. It's way different than a lot of other professionals, other than musicians. But you see that, you hear it. This one is only shown when they want you to see it. So it's definitely, I don't know, it's made me always trying to think about how this is going to come out. And, you know, it's not going to be the exact thing in my brain, but I have a great foundation and I make sure that my life has a good, consistent, I need to go home and do art now. Like I have this time set aside every day to do it. That made it better and a lot more colorful, I feel, and a lot safer and not having to work for food, you know, and starve.
Sure.
I don't think that makes good art. I think that makes good, unhealthy people.
What would you say is the hardest part about what you do?
Being patient. You're not going to make money every day, even though it seems like sometimes you do get a lucky streak and you do make money on art every day, but you still have to have a 9-to-5 to support the people around you and the family that you're trying to build. And your support system needs to be known that you appreciate them and that you're giving back to them as much as possible with this wonderful art. You know, like this is the byproduct of what you're helping me with as well. And the patience is the hardest part, because eventually I feel that I would get to a point where people are buying my stuff and I can make an income off of just art as a professional, but not in this economy, not in this day and age. It's, you have to put in that time, you know, you have to work at something else for the meantime. But I've always found that to be inspirational as well, because in school I never paid attention in school, so I was always wanting to do art or skateboard. Mm-hmm. So that drove me to want to be better at art and skateboarding, because I couldn't do it all the time. So that's just me though, like I like to be, you know, bothered a little bit, but it's hard when I work in an art store and there's art supplies around me all the time. By 10 o'clock I'm ready to go and do art, but it's like, well, I got another 7 hours I got to go through. So
yeah, definitely.
So it's being patient, and I'm learning every day to be more and more patient here and there. Doesn't always work, but it's something I'm working on.
Well, I did want to talk about your upcoming shows, but yes. I think right before I do that, I just wanted to ask, because we were talking about sort of the smaller galleries and the, you know, regular events like Second Friday Art Night that happened here in Little Rock. Would you say there's like a Little Rock style? Is there any one overarching theme that you kind of see among different artists?
No, which is awesome. I've never thought about there was a Little Rock style. Everybody's completely different. Of course, you have an older generation that's putting out stylized life portraits or still lives or landscapes. And you can definitely tell, like, oh, that's that person, because their style reigns supreme. You know, they're it's coming through, and no matter the subject, you can see their painting style and their structure, and that's, I love that. I love that everyone's their own individual, you know, painter or artist in that sense. I never really see like art here, which is maybe because we're not overpopulated, or if we don't have a larger per capita of artists per area, but man, it is, everyone's a little different, and I love it. And it's, that has been really cool, and I've got to see a lot of different art that way and meet the artist as well, because we have the opportunity to meet them here, and because of the art center and all the other different places we have here and institutions we have here are definitely trying to push the art, and they're having trouble finding the arts, and people are finding them, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think we're going to get a tapestry of different artists, and again with the curators that are involved with these CAL systems and stuff, like the libraries are definitely doing some of the hard work and finding the difference and incorporating the different artists and being equal around, you know, trying to make sure that nothing is heavy on one side or heavy on the other side or overly seen or saturated. Like, it's definitely their job to make sure that it's a mixed bag, and they're doing such a wonderful job.
Yeah, every time I go to Cal's or to like a gallery downtown, I'm kind of amazed at like where they found these people.
Right. And again, working at the art store, they come in and they're just like, oh yeah, everyone's an artist that walks in the door. So we're not surprised when they say, oh, I'm an artist. But when they show us the work sometimes and we're like, wow, that's amazing. And you just don't see them very much and they're not showing for some reason. And, you know, I always encourage the nudge and try to direct them to somewhere, but they really have to do it themselves because that's their stuff. But yeah, we have a lot of amazing different talents and of probably thousands we haven't seen yet. So, because we have some far off areas of Arkansas that are breeding probably great artists and they just not seen yet.
So for your shows coming up, and then, I mean, just for your shows in general, did you have to reach out or were you contacted?
I started to reach out to Cal's probably 2 years ago, and I sent cold emails, you know, just being like, how do I get a show there? I'm a curator. I'd like to have a show there with friends or something, because I always want to bring up the people with me. I never thought I would have a solo show until Donovan asked me, and I was like, yeah. And then I looked at the space, and I was like, oh, that's huge. And, of course, I work small. Mm-hmm. And of course, now I'm getting, I worked a lot larger this year because of the show coming up, but it was very daunting for me. And I don't know, it's very scary for me as an artist, but it's up and it's great. I have almost 50 pieces up, so it's the biggest show I've ever put on, other than the one last year. I don't know how many pieces were there at the Lehman Library Argenta, but this one's definitely about 4 years of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Different avenues of styles I used throughout 4 years.
How long do you think was dedicated solely for pieces for this?
I was notified probably a year and a half before the show.
Okay.
So I had in mind that I was going to do larger acrylic pieces on wooden panels and then accompany them by smaller pieces in the same series. Mm-hmm. And that shows in the show. But July happened, and then printmaking took over. I kind of got really, really deep into printmaking for those couple months, and now about 35% of the show is printmaking.
How long of a process would you say from drawing to print?
I know printing at least three prints of the first edition would probably take 2 hours, because I was adding sheen collet elements and doing kind of one-offs with different colors. But then if I was doing a single colored pull, about 2 hours for six. And before that, the etching process takes 2 days, because you have to let the ground dry overnight, because if you want a consistent etch, you know, it has to solidify and harden. So it's like, that's where patience comes in, and I'm working on the patience, because I'm usually start a piece at night and finish it before morning, or vice versa, start in the morning, finish it before night, and one time, sit down, just do it. And now I'm not. It's been, you know, I've gone back to paintings months later and finished them. And I've never done that. So that's a big change for me. So, and I'm okay with that.
That was Matthew Castellano speaking about his art and his new exhibit, Plateau. The show runs until the end of November at the bookstore at Library Square in downtown Little Rock.
And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.